Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you today. Special welcome for the visitors. It's very good to have you all here. We're glad you're here. In this little setting, the singing this morning was amazing. Oh, the soprano that we have added here. It's just a real blessing to have you here. Especially thankful for to have Abigail here with her parents. You know, if you think about the work of God and in our lives, and do we recognize that? Do we make that real? Is it special to us? So, here in this little group, long before Abigail and her parents have heard of us, we've been praying. We need a school teacher here in this setting, and confident that was the will of God. We wanted to be able to conduct a Christian day school and wanted God's involvement. We wanted to be successful. And so we pray, you know, God, hey, we need a skill teacher. Can you help us with this? And God walked in here today and he brought us a gift. And here's this nice package, this present for you, something to add fulfillment and a benefit to your life. You know, if Jesus walked in here, we'd feel pretty impressed. Wow, that's a special gift. And here we are. We have a school teacher that's here this morning, and we recognize and we're thankful. And God, wow, he did that. People we didn't know and needs that we had that he knew about, you know, his incredible knowledge and logistics and handle of his world that he built. They can just bring this together. We can just be thankful and press into the will of God. So that's how I feel about that situation this morning. It's like, this is really special. God brought us this person. And wow, this is going to be successful. God is in it. God feel, you know, he felt like that. He wanted to meet this need in this way. And so we're blessed to have a school teacher here this morning. I look forward to that ongoing interaction. For announcements this week, we have the midweek prayer meeting, 7:30. Is there anything else that needs to be announced? I guess we have a fellowship meal after the service here. Everyone's welcome to. Tomorrow morning, we're planning to, at 9, to conduct a planning for the school. Those are things I think of. Anything else? All right, going into the message here this morning. I have the title. The title of the message here this morning is Harvest Time. Harvest Time. And for those of us that are involved in farming, harvest time's a big deal, maybe a bigger deal than it ought to be. You know, with that, for especially if you have spent a lot of years dealing with the implications of harvest time, you know, that brings just a lot of imagery, a lot of things to mind when you think about harvest time. You think about, or if I was to ask you, are you participating in the harvest? Are you part of that? Are you part of the harvest? There are different. If you just look up the word harvest in the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, there's quite a number of illustrations, quite another number of images, and quite a number of allegories, places that's used, that idea of people in harvest. Different stories, different words, different examples of where harvest was used as an illustration for kind of some deep spiritual things. And so this morning I want to ask us, are we part of the harvest? Are we part of the harvest time? If we would look at one of them in the book of Revelation, this is an interesting one, and maybe here is one of the ones we can get just a little bit of a part of the picture of how God views this world that he made and the harvest that is coming. So in Revelation 14, I was going to read verses 13 to 20. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over the fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that hath the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. I'm going to stop there. We could also look at the story of the wheat and the tares, the parable there in Matthew 13. I don't think I'll read that one. Those of you who are with Bible knowledge will know, you know, this man went out to harvest his field, and here it was full of tares. And so they wanted to understand what this is about, and Jesus conveyed to them that this world, the people that are in it, the souls that are here, this is the harvest that is important to him. This is what matters to God, this beautiful world that he built, and yet he wanted to align souls. He wanted to bring souls together with his salvation, so that at the end of time, we could go to be with him in heaven, to kind of fix all the wrongs of the world, the things that happened that took men away from him. We could be recovered from our sin, put back in right relationship with him, and be in a place where we could be with God forever. So that's what his goal was. So as he looks down on the earth, we can see through his stories in the Bible how he views this, the amount of time that he's giving, the opportunity for men to repent, the many ways in which he prepares this world and the men in it for the coming judgment to be right with him. Harvest time is a big deal to God. In this illustration, he talks about the angels, and he talks about the reapers that are there. He talks about, in different places around this idea of harvest, the workers. And we as workers want to participate in his will and work as he prepares men for the coming harvest, for the time when earth is going to be no more, and we're to go to be with him. Thinking then of a natural harvest, I think for most of human history, most men were closer to kind of the physical parts of harvest than they are today. It seems like with the Industrial Revolution, many people have no connection, no concept with an actual harvest. I mean, many people can, you know, they have an occupation that is just far from harvest. But there are some really neat things that we can learn, and we can ask ourselves, are we part of the harvest when it comes to the things of God, the souls of those around us? Are you preparing? Are you helping with the harvest? You know, if you were to ask someone who has farmed or has experience with that, you ask them, what is harvest like anyway? What is harvest like? And there's a number of different points that come to me as someone who has participated and tried and helped with a harvest. You know, we could look at some of those and kind of try to springboard that into harvest of souls that Jesus wants us to be part of. One of the things that as a farmer that I think about is the anticipation of harvest. You know, it's kind of a big deal. You work all year, and you spend time and energy, and you put effort into it. It's fertilizers, and you're trying to get the weeds out, and you're trying to get the planting right, and you're using the right seeds, and the irrigation, and you're just all of the effort that goes into that one time of year that you have a harvest. So it's the anticipation. of a harvest, a coming harvest that a farmer will look to. You know, there's man, all that effort, all that work, all that time, all that energy and thought, and but there's coming a harvest, and we look forward to that with great anticipation. And for myself, you know, to look forward to that, to be able to participate, that is something that I really like. There's very few of the duties of my farming experience that I liked better than to go out there in the middle of the night and cut grass. Really looked forward to that. That was part. It was such a pleasant experience. You know, I'd get some tea around and I'd get some popcorn around and I'd go out there in this thing and something interesting to listen to that I'd turn on. The bright lights out there on the grass seed crop and just to drive this thing all night. So to me, I really enjoyed that. And children over the years, you know, they'd want to take turns. They're going to go out there and they're going to get this thing. Tonight's the night. We're going to start tonight. Tonight's the night. We're going to start this harvest. Do you look forward to the harvest with that kind of anticipation? Jesus coming back and all this effort. This is going to be a culmination of my life's energy, the things that I spent my time and the things that mattered to me are going to happen. This harvest is coming. And we'll all stand before God and this is coming. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a great blessing. Is that how you feel? Are you part of the harvest when it comes to your anticipation of the coming Messiah, his second coming? Another thing that I think about with harvest is just the preparation. It's the plain old, you have to get ready for it. And some of that was, you know, especially if I think about grass seed or the baling we've done, you know, some of that had much to do with the machinery. You had to get the machinery ready, make sure you had the sickle bar sharp and the stuff was going to run and stuff was maintained and serviced. And because, you know, this thing is coming, like it or not, this thing is coming. And so to be prepared, to make that important, to be prepared in a timely manner. You know, it doesn't work very good to wait till the day it's ready, time to cut hay, to figure out if the battery's charged up on your machine. When it's time to go out there and cut, you know, all that should have been done ahead of time. You should have put some thought and preparation into that ahead of time to get it ready. And you know, that can be tedious, and that can be maybe if you're not very mechanically inclined, it can be a big pain to have to service the machinery to get ready to harvest. But to prepare, because there is this coming harvest, and we know, those of us that we have spent some time, especially in grass seed. The grass seed is a crop that you have a very narrow window to cut. It's a little bit, it's not ready, and then you have about 3 days, and then it's too late. And then you start to shatter the crop, and the seed starts to fall out on the ground. So there was this intensity around these. You had to be ready when it was time to go. I know what it's like to feel just behind, just not ready. It's more things to cut than it was, than we had machinery and guys and energy to do, just to be behind, to feel that kind of desperation that goes, we're missing it. We've missed our opportunity. So to prepare for the harvest, and of course with in our spiritual lives, the Jesus is coming, and are we ready? Are we prepared for that? Are we helping others to prepare for that? Do any of the thoughts of your day, you know, the things that matter to you, the things of life and work and recreation and of interest to you, the things that are of interest to you, does any of that swirl around preparation for the harvest? Harvest is coming. What matters to you? Or is it of things of time and earth, the things that are all going to melt with fervent heat in the end? What are you preparing for the harvest? That's the call for us. Are we ready? Another thing that I think about, and I've already mentioned it a little bit, is kind of the intensity of the harvest. And there again, my experience with the grass seed is when it turns on, you know, and then it's time to do it, and it's time to pay attention, and life tends to narrow, and long hours and hard work, and these things matter. These things are there's kind of a the word desperation comes to mind to make sure that we get this right. We've got to do it. And often, as a farmer, one of the big things is the weather. The weather is going to rain, or it's going to mess this up, and then the implications of not being intense about it really, it can come home to roost if you're not really focused, if you're not really engaged with the things of the harvest. Because time is of the essence. Here we have a time, especially here on the West Coast, you know, we have long dry summers in which we can participate in the harvest, but there's the rain is coming. We can just be sure that this rain is coming, and you need to be done, or else you'll never get it done. The intensity of the harvest, and that, you know, you think about different of the industries that are here. Think about some of the fruit harvests. In this valley, there's a lot of pears, which is kind of unique. It's a tremendous amount of pears. And I was talking to the one gentleman that oversees, I forget, maybe 1,200 acres of pears, something like that. And so he's got a lot weighing on this coming harvest. So he would start to tell his team, yeah, months ahead of time for these weeks. I think it was in October. Can't remember for sure when it was, but he is lining up. He needs 300 people this week, and you know, 400 the next week, and so months ahead of time, he's trying to hit this window of when this harvest is going to be ready. Very intently involved in getting this right, because the harvest is coming, and it matters, and the thought that goes into it. He's just way months ahead of time. He's planning and thinking and scheduling for this coming harvest. Just intense about it. And to think about my own life, my own Christian experience, and the fact that, like we heard in devotions, we're all going to die. There's coming a day. Does my planning for my coming destiny with Jesus at the judgment day, it's my planning, am I intense about that? Is there preparation? Is that such an intense part of my life? Does it matter to me? Or does any of my time of my day, or does, again, the things of time and here and now take the place of the coming harvest? I have down here too the challenges of the harvest. You know, harvest for us comes with a tremendous amount of challenges. Everything from, you know, I mentioned the machinery, and I mentioned the weather. Talked about the muddy fields and the conditions and the particular crop, and all of the different pieces that go into a very complicated harvest. Are we engaged with that on a spiritual level? Do we understand the challenges that we're up against? Can we look around us at the young people or fellow church members or those that we associate with, and maybe our neighbors? Do we engage? Are we thoughtful about how we can help, how we can be involved, how we can bless? This past week, I got a call from a young man who either had lost or had quit his job, if you will. Three children. And he was just kind of animated, kind of upset a little bit, but he wanted to tell me that, you know, even though he no longer worked for that company, he was still available to come help us in his new capacity. He's going to go out on his own. But along with that, he was talking about some changes that he was going to do in his life. And some of it had to do with a move and no longer connecting with the church, and just a lot of different things that I felt like, you know, I don't know. I don't sound very safe to me. I don't think that's going to work. I think you're liable to put yourself and your little family in danger spiritually by the choices that you're making, these things that you're getting ready to do. And yet, I knew enough to know it wasn't going to work for me just to tell him, don't do that. That's a really bad idea. You know, you stop with what you're doing. He was making choices, maybe making choices it feels like, or to his own detriment long term. You know, I could stand back and say, no, it's your choice. You're a big boy, if you will. You're a spiritual being. You can make your own choices, and you'll reap what you sow. So it's not really my responsibility. I could approach the situation like that. I could approach this situation a little bit like we heard at Sunday school, with aggressive, intentional, you know, to elicit a reaction that probably wasn't going to work either. We could do that. I don't know what the right thing to do, but I like the idea of, even when someone was making choices that were a detriment to himself, those that opposed themselves, the Bible talks about that. He was making choices that I could try to help him somehow, even in his poor choices, if you will. I could say, you know, what can I do to help this guy? What little piece of advice could I give? I did talk to his previous boss and say, you know, hey, let's not let this guy crash and burn through this situation. What can we do? Can you give him work yourself as a custom operator? What can you do to help this be salvageable? Can we rescue this guy together from the choices that he's making himself? Can we work together to rescue this situation? Can we press into that challenge to make a difference in his life, even though, you know, he's at fault, even though we could say, you know, you deserve what you caused yourself. You know, there's lots of ways that we could look at it. Or we could say, you know, there's, you know, the things that his actual occupation, the thing that he works on, things that we know him as, really beside the point. Not the big deal here in our relationship. It's not the big deal. Big deal is Jesus is coming, and these little children are at stake, and his wife is at stake, and can we help? Do you think about, are you part of the harvest? That's the question. When you're working with people, are you part of the harvest? Well, we could think about too. Just the plain old logistics of the harvest. Are you part of that? And here I think of things like church life and all of the pieces that go into that to make that a blessing. Everything from making meals to teaching Sunday school to, you know, ushering, whatever it is. It seems like it is easy for people, it's easy for me to just kind of look to someone else to put the effort in to make it actually work. You know, in a harvest, you know, there's a tremendous amount of logistics. Everything from, you know, once you start that, and then you've got the trucking, and you've got the, you know, can you get it out of the combines and into the trucks, and then where is it going? And then it has to be taken care of. It has to be done dry, and it's got to be cleaned, and it's got to be presentable when it gets to market, and just all of those things. And each of those things, you know, you can split up. Well, who's going to drive the truck today? And are we overweight? And are we all of the just? There's a tremendous amount of detail that goes into the logistics of the harvest. Just a lot there. I think that that's the same way it is spiritually. And are we engaged? Or do we care? Do I want to use my talents and my energy to bless and push forward this harvest? I will be thoughtful. I will be thinking ahead of what is needed for me to participate in this harvest. And so the question is, it's harvest time, and am I helping the harvest? There's a sad verse in Jeremiah 8, verse 20 that says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And I'm just kind of breaking that out of of the context. It's just kind of a, you know, it's just kind of a statement of loss, if you will. Is here you had this opportunity, and then after a while it was over, and we missed it. You know, there's a story of a man told in the Willamette Valley, and I guess it's a true story, and it happened a long time ago. It was this man who had a lot of grass seed, a lot of ground there in the county, rented a lot of ground, owned a lot of ground. And there came a day when it was time to harvest, and he was driving down the road, and he saw this field. And in his busyness, he could see this field, the field was looking like it's getting pretty close to harvest, almost time to cut it. When are they going to get to that? He went on with his day, and next day or next couple days, he was on the road again, and he went by this field, and that field, it is time. Someone needs to harvest that field. I wonder when they're going to get to that field. And so he went on busy with his day, and a few days later, he goes by this field again and realizes, you know, this field, I can just see from the road, it is ripe, it is high time, it is, and just there's something rose up in him, this field, it is time to cut this thing. And the next day or soon thereafter, he goes by there and he just, with sinking heart, realized, you know, this, it's past. We missed it. That field, whoever that is. And that's when he stopped and starts realizing, that is my field. It's one of the fields that I was supposed to be responsible for. It's one of the fields that, you know, me and my team put effort into getting this thing ready for this harvest. And now through just my forgetfulness, we have missed it. It's gone. And it's too late. And the harvest that we'll get out there will be a fraction of what we could have had if we were would have been ready and participating and knowing and remembering what we were up to. Now, I guess that's a true story. I heard it as a true story. I don't know that. And I added some of those details to me. But that was just the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. It's that loss. It's gone. I can't go back and get it over. Those of us who are in the middle of raising children, we feel a little bit that desperation. This is the chance. And this is what's important. And this is what matters. And we have just one chance here. It's just the desperation. That is my field. Let's get this right. Let's do this. Harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Are you participating in the harvest? Is your mind and your thoughts engaged? Luke 10 teaches us, Jesus said, "Therefore said he unto him, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Do you feel that need? I just wish we had more help. I just wish we had more help to work in this harvest. Do you feel that lack of ability to get done all of the things that desperately need done as we push forward this harvest? Do you feel that? You know, I know what it's like to not have enough help for the projects. It's like to just be running my wheels off to get the things done. Are you engaged enough? Are you part of the harvest enough to know that we are desperate for help to move this thing forward? Do you feel that at all? That's a little bit the sense that I feel. That pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We need help. Lord, please help us push this thing forward. Another verse here along just commentary on harvest. John 4:35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already. Can you see the fields that are ready? Are you in tune enough with God's harvest that you can see it all around you? And just like that man that saw the field, and he was desperate that somebody would cut that. Is that how you feel as you interact with society? The harvest is here. Someone needs to do this harvest. Or as you look around you, as you go through your day, as you talk and work with your employers or your people, whoever you interact with, you just don't see any opportunity. There's just nothing. There's no chances. You know, maybe someday, 4 months from now, there'll be a chance to participate. People will be ready. There'll be a harvest that we could... then there'll be a chance for us to help. Is that how you view society around you? Or do you, or when you look around at those daily interactions around you, do you feel like this thing is ready? There's just opportunity everywhere. Anywhere we look, there's a chance to participate in the harvest. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. Lift up your eyes. You know, teach your eyes something about when you can help. Many hurting people all around us. Fields are white, ready to harvest. And I feel convicted as I think about that. What did I do this past week? Was my life engaged with the physical harvest so much that I couldn't see the fields that Jesus saw that were ready to harvest? One verse yet. From Ecclesiastes 3:1-2. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I just bring that verse for us as spiritual beings, for us who do know Christ, for us who have had our sins forgiven, for us who have made a choice to answer the call for Christ and to be part of His will and ways. And the time is now. It is high time. It is time. It's now for us to participate in the harvest. So that's a question that I'd like us each to take with us as we are. Are we participating